have a couple prayer requests this morning. The first one is continue to pray for my sister Renee, who had her surgery and still has draining tubes in.
Okay.
And then continue to pray for my friend Chris Holmes, who lost his wife not too long ago, and he's still
having a tough time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you're married, it's like you have things that you do in the home, mm-hmm. and your wife has things that she does, and together it all gets
it
done.
It gets
because
done.
Because you
yep.
do your part, you know.
Co-laboring.
Yes. And whenever one of you goes home, yeah. it...
Huge void.
It's a change. It's a major adjustment.
Sure. Sure.
So I just want to continue to cover him.
Okay. All right. We can do that. We can do that. All right, Lord, we lift Monica's sister to you, Father, in this situation with her surgery. God, we call her whole. We call her well. We call her healed. Lord, we speak that those tubes will come out, Father God, that she will just be revived with new life and energy, new vitality, God. I pray she'd feel better today than she's ever felt in her life, Lord God. Thank you for recovery. We give you praise and honor for a glorious testimony. Lord, pray for Chris Holmes. Father God, as he's lost his wife, I just pray that you would give him strength and wisdom and comfort, Father, joy in the midst of that circumstance. God, I pray that you would just breathe revelation into him. Father, there's nothing like your voice when we hear it, God. So I just pray that you would speak into him in power in his life. Pray that his ears would be open to hear that he would stand, God, and be encouraged in you, Lord. Encouraged in what lies before him, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the memories that he has of her, Lord God, and I know that he'll hold them in his heart. But I just pray that you would begin to allow the joy of the Lord, the rejoicing of God, for those who belong to him to rise in his life. Lord, I also want to lift up the Hahn family to you this morning, Lord. Father God, as they've lost a loved one this morning, God, I just pray that you'd surround them, bless them, God, bring comfort, peace to their lives, Lord. Send your people around them, Lord God. Send ministering angels into their presence, God. Give them direction and wisdom. Draw them into you, to your heart, Lord God. Bless them, Father God. Fill them up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Refuge Church is now located in New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor, powerhouse, Tammy Bailey. Y'all, she won't just bless your shoes off. She'll bless your shoes and socks off. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply, Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We hope.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Jason Wilhelm. His title for this morning is The Relational Power of Love.
You could say The Revelational Power of Love, too. I mean, yeah, it'd work. It'd work good. Yeah. Okay, so we just came to the end of this, and we've realized Jesus is the picture of what it looks like to walk in the revelational power, or the relational power of love with the Father. And all that he was, all that he did, he never did anything outside of what he saw the Father do, what he heard the Father say. By the way, that's the same thing we've been called to. We read right in the beginning, Hebrews 12:2, that we're to keep our eyes in that position all the time, all the time. We are joint heirs. We have everything he has, the same ability, all of the stuff that he did. It's in you. Yeah, it's in you. Got to get it worked out. That whole scripture of Paul said, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Again, it's not that bad fear. It's the precious cargo that you carry. Be careful with the precious cargo that you carry. That's what he's talking about. You have the treasure and resources of heaven. All of it. Not some of it. All of it. It's on you through the relational power of love to call in the resources of the kingdom, the treasures of heaven. Jesus said that this is the way it works. This is the explanation of what he was saying in John 5, that I only do what I see the Father do. This is what Jesus said in John. I'm not going to read it. We don't have time. Go read John 15. You know, it's all that real deep teaching that Jesus did about that I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll bear fruit. In this, my Father's glorified that you bear much fruit. That whole thing. Abiding is what causes the fruit to bloom. It's what causes the fruit to bloom. It is the relational equity that we have in him. Equity is the over and above, right? If I have equity in my mortgage, that is above what I owe. It's worth more than what I owe, right? The blood of the Lamb has wiped it all out. If I will invest my life in relationship with him, by the way, he is love, the relational power of love. If I invest my life in that covenant of love with him, right? My equity meter is maxed plumb out. I have all the resources of the kingdom that comes by abiding in him. The yes, Lord. That's where it comes from. Love is the currency of the kingdom. It is the medium of exchange that causes the kingdom to flow. It's the check that we are able to write. You see, when I write you a check, it's just a piece of paper, but it is a medium of exchange between you and I. You say, this is what it'll cost. I write you a check. It is not real currency, but it's just a paper that says, yeah, I give you that medium of exchange. Monica takes it to her bank, puts it in her bank. My bank then puts that money into her account, and now she has it. That's what love is. When I invest love in Monica, it is the currency of the kingdom. It is the medium of exchange between the people of God and God himself. It is what makes the kingdom go. God is love. He is good, and he is love. Nothing, everything that God does is from the position of love, everything. So love is the currency. It is the abiding. It is the distribution of everything that is the kingdom. It is the answer to all things. All things. Remember they asked Jesus, well, what's the greatest commandments? And he gave two of them. And he said, it's all summed up. All of it. James talked about everything in this covenant is summed up in two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Give it everything you got in love with the Lord. And love one another just like you love your neighbor, just like you love yourself. Love and love. Love and love. Love, 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 love. Get it in you. Love is a choice. God has given you his love to give away. It is part of the treasure and resources of the kingdom. It is a choice that you make. It is not a feeling or an emotion. It is a choice to love someone else, just like you would love yourself. Love is the currency of the kingdom. It's what establishes it. If you will sow in love, if you will go after love, by the way, that is Yahweh, love. If you will go after love with everything that's in you, if you will invest in the covenant of love, you will reap from the covenant of love. Remember that Matthew 6:33. Seek it first, and everything else will be taken care of. That is the promise of the covenant. Go after love first. The covenant is a covenant of love paid for by the precious blood of God's own Son. Those two great commandments. James said in James 2:8, he called it the royal law of love. Hey, who's under the law? Nobody's under the law. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm under this one. I want to be under this one, the royal law of love. That is liberty and freedom in Christ. If it is a law, James said it was, it's the only one that we need to keep. Matter of fact, in John 15 over there, Jesus said that if you love me, you keep my commandments. Now he goes on down, I think it's, I can't remember which one it is, 19 maybe, or I can't remember, 13. Read John 15, but he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. That's the commandment. Love, love. It's not a hard one. It's not a hard, and a matter of fact, he gave you a new heart, and he gave you his love. The covenant he made was in love. This is what Jesus said. He said, no greater love has any man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. He made a covenant with you, purchased by the great, no greater love, by the greatest measure of love that would ever be displayed. That saved your life. It changed everything about you. It brought you into a relationship with him. It gave you the full resources of the kingdom. It named you a daughter or a son of the Most High God. If you invest outside of that, you'll reap outside of it. But if you invest in the covenant of love, that's all you'll reap, is the blessings of God. My pastor, this is a quote from my pastor. I'm a pastor as well, but I have a pastor, right? You know, he's my spiritual daddy. This is a quote I ran across a few months ago that I had written down that he said one Sunday morning years ago. He said this. He said that, because James said, when we do invest in love, he said, don't love with partiality. God is no respecter of persons. He loves everyone the same. Don't love those who are just easy to love or that are your friends. Love them all the same way. He don't do it in partiality. If you're loving in partiality, if you prefer one over another, you are then investing outside the covenant, and you're going to reap outside the covenant. Don't do that. Keep it inside the house. Keep it in the covenant of love. Keep it. But this is what A.T. said. The Father doesn't have the capacity to love people different. And it breaks my heart that we do. We are called to the covenant of love. We have two simple things that we're asked to do. It's all summed up in John 15 in the one word, to abide. The abiding, the connection of the abiding is love. Loving him and loving all the other branches of the vine that's connected to it. The Holy Spirit lives in Monica the same way that he lives in me. There's no way that a house would divided against itself can stand, Jesus said. Why would the Spirit of God in me be condemning, judgmental, or unloving toward my sister, who is the same DNA, the same spirit as me? Impossible, not going to happen. Don't choose to invest outside the covenant of love into others or into your relationship with the Lord. Don't do it. Don't do it. Get rid, because you have been given the capacity to love everyone the same way. Get rid of that way of thinking. We often criticize and tear down those who have dirty feet. Judgmental because their feet are dirty, where they've been, what they've done, why'd they do that? Why'd that guy make that decision? Why, he's a fool. Or, you know, we catch ourselves in just those moments of thinking or saying things in conversation. We often criticize and tear down the people with dirty feet, and we got them ourselves. We got them ourselves instead of washing them. We ought to be washing the feet of those around us who are filthy. Jesus washed the feet of the one who'd betray him. Yeah. Right? Yeah. He wasn't judging him. He wasn't condemning him. He wasn't telling him how sorry he was. He wasn't so mad at him that he withdrew his presence from him. He stayed in the same room with him. He ate with him. He broke bread with him. He washed his feet. That ought to be what's being dispersed through us. That is the covenant of love. It is the power of the name of God. God is love. Yahweh, I am. I am. Jesus lived this life. Proverbs 22:4. I love this scripture. It says this: the reward of humility and the fear or reverence and respect of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Riches, honor, and life. Jesus, the word says, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he was. Yet he made himself lower than the angels. He humbled himself and became a servant to you, to all of mankind. That was who he was. He was a man filled with the Spirit of God, walking in humility and reverence and awe and respect for the Father. You know, I love storms. It's crazy. I do. I love storms. I had one that took everything I ever owned. A tornado took everything ever. But I love storms. I was on the fire department for some years. Went through storm spotting school. They have meteorologists come out and they train you on the workings of a storm, what makes them work, how they build, why tornadoes develop and where they develop in a storm and why that is, inflow, outflow, all of these things. I'm so in awe of the beauty and power of storms that I dug into that for years, just wanting to know more. Love to watch them, love to chase them, love to see them. I don't love the destruction that they do to man. I don't like that part of it, but I'm in awe of their power. And so I learned everything I could about them and just enjoyed being a part of keeping people safe. And so the point is this: you can be so scared of a storm that you'll dig a hole and get in the ground. I'm not saying that's not a bad idea. Don't get me wrong. Or you can have the fear of a storm in the sense of awe, that I want to know everything. I want to know how that the beauty and majesty of that works. And be wise because I know what it is of where to be, to see it and to watch it and to experience it in a good way. This is my point. When we live in the true fear of the Lord, it's such an awe. It's such a reverence for who he is that you can't get enough. You got to know everything you can know today. I want to get all of it. That is how he lived. Jesus humbled himself, became lower than the angels, that he would be a servant to all of mankind, walked in humility and total awe of the Father. I won't do anything I don't see him do. I won't say anything I don't hear him say. I won't go anywhere he doesn't want me to go. The heart of man plans his way, but it's the Father who directs his steps. Jesus lived from that point, and it says that living that type of lifestyle bring riches and honor and life. That's where I want to live my life from that standpoint. When Jesus lived in humility and worshipful reverence for the Father. You know, I said this earlier, but Paul said to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Doesn't mean being scared to death of the Lord. It's not what it means. It means that this is how Jesus walked. This power of God that lives in me is so strong. I'm in such awe of it. I'm going to be so careful with it. You know, you may have heard me say this before. I probably said it here before. But it's here's the impact of what happens when we go take the sword of the Spirit under our own power and begin to use it in someone's lives. You end up like Peter cutting someone's ear off. You know what? People that don't have ears will never hear you. Mm-hmm. And the Lord's got to put that back together and fix it. Even Jesus said to the disciples, I've got so much I'd like to tell you, but you can't bear it. But there'll be a time the Holy Spirit will tell you and you'll get it. Jesus, you know, we're always quick to rush in to someone's aid and begin to speak the word over them and these things. But I'm telling you, if we begin to invest outside of what the Father is saying and doing to that person, man, we're going to cut an ear off. We got to be careful. Mm-hmm. You can have the right heart and the wrong pattern. David did, and he got Uzzah killed when he went to get the ark. He didn't do it right. He had the right heart. He wanted the presence of God, but he didn't take the time to get with the Lord and find out how to do it. This relational power with who he is, it is everything. It is everything. When we get to the position of our lives where we refuse to move, there was a song years ago by the Vineyard. It said, if you say go, we will go. If you say wait, we will wait. If you say step out on the water and they say it can't be done, we'll fix our eyes on you and we will come. It's all about what he wants to do and what he wants to say. We got to be a little more cautious about it. We need to be invested inside the covenant of love. We need to get to a point where we're willing to wash the feet of those who are dirty instead of judging, condemning, speaking out of school. Quit investing in backbiting. I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to me. Quit investing in gossip. Quit investing in the things that are not what he is saying or doing, and begin to just invest in love. God loves me with a love that is incredible. It is never ending, and it is unconditional. That love abides in me. It's as simple as making a choice in faith to walk in that covenant. I have it in me. Peter said, work it out with careful precision. Just like a vase that's worth billions of dollars full of treasure. Be careful when you're carrying it. Don't drop it and break it. Use it. Use it. Go out and spend it and use it. Invest in love. Invest in love. Father, I thank you that your word declares that you are love. Holy Spirit, I ask you to kindle the flames in our hearts. Open our minds, open our hearts, and pour out who you are, the love of God. It's our heart's desire to abide. It's our heart's desire to walk in that love that you have filled us with, Lord. I thank you for the opportunities that are in front of us today to just love. God, you are the answer to all things. The great I am, Yahweh, you just are the answer. Let your answer of love resonate, ring, and resound in every word we speak and every breath we breathe. We're yielding to you, saying to you, be it to us according to your word. We love you, thank you, and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Will you agree with me?
Sure. Well, maybe. I'm just kidding.
I feel a spiritual attack. So I want to pray against that. I don't know who it is. But it's almost like an anxiety attack, borderline panic attack. And it's a spirit of fear trying to come on somebody. Mm-hmm. So in the name of Jesus, I bind you, spirit of fear. I bind you and I send you back to the enemy's camp. You take that destruction, that fear, and that torment, and you go back to the enemy's camp.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, I bind you and I bind all your tricks, your schemes, your scams, and your twisted lies. In the name of Jesus, I loose the love of the Lord God. Mm-hmm. I loose His love over you in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I release His peace, His comfort, and most of all, His love in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. From myself, Monica Lovell, from Pastor Jason Wilhelm, y'all have a blessed day, and this is the most powerful hour of my day. From all of us here, y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.